Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Stacey Gottsoulias, and I'm the host of Locked On Yankees. I'm a baseball writer turned podcast host, and you may have read my work at places like Baseball Prospectus, The Hardball Times, Sporting News, and the ESPN Sweet Spot blog. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees, all one word. You can find me on Twitter at Stace Gotts. We're also on Instagram at Locked On Yankees, all one word, and I am on the Locker Room app as Stace Gotts. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoy today's episode. I recorded a crossover episode with Eric and Brent from Locked On Astros, so you will hear that episode. We recorded it last night, and it aired live last night, and I am replaying this audio for you so you can hear my conversation with them. We talk about the upcoming series. We talk about the Astros-Yankees rivalry and all that good stuff. But first, you can get Locked On Astros and Locked On Yankees and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees.
So speaking of which, we decided to have a reunion tour. I know there's some other tours going around, but let's go ahead and have a reunion tour and talk about the big series that the Astros are having versus the Yankees. And this is the first time that the Astros have faced the Yankees since the whole scandal. And we're going to be talking about this with Stace. And we don't have a lot prepped because we want to kind of have a generic conversation about what's happened and what the Astros are to expect. So before we kind of get too deep into this conversation, I want to talk a little bit about the Yankees season so far. What's been going on, and is it true that there's been items thrown onto the field, like baseballs and stuff? What's been going on with the Yankees season so far?
Oh, yeah. When they were, I believe it was when they fell to 6-11 is when people started throwing things on the field. They've been playing well in their last 9 or 10 games, so no more throwing things on the field. I can't stand my fellow Yankee fans. I'll tell you all that right now. I'm constantly berating them. I'm constantly, you know, saying things on my show, telling them to calm down, stop acting like idiots. I don't want them. I mean, they can boo your guys vociferously. That's fine. Booing and jeering is fine. But I do not want to see projectiles thrown onto the field. This isn't the 1980s anymore when people used to throw D batteries at opposing players. You know, I went to games at old Yankee Stadium in the 80s and they were scary. I just don't want to return to that. If I see that tomorrow night, I will be so disappointed. You know, as I said, yelling and jeering and saying funny things. You know, my brother's one of the world's best hecklers, never curses, comes up with really funny things to say to the players to the point where they laugh at him because they think it's so funny. So I would prefer people be like that, but I know that they won't.
Yeah, you know, I just think of when you throw stuff on the field, I think back to like Philadelphia when they were like throwing snowballs at Santa. And, you know, some fans, we all know, take it way too far. We all know it's a game. I know on Twitter, we go back and forth within the Locked On Network. We kind of jab at each other. And there's something fun about that. I mean, heck, we have a full 162 game season after the year we had. I mean, let's boo, let's cheer, let's talk trash. But at the end of the day, these guys got to go home to their families. I heard a rumor that they were beefing up extra security for the Astros. I don't know if that was true or someone on Twitter kind of making that up. One of the John Boy media guys tweeted that out. But I think at the end of the day, both of these teams, I want them healthy because I want this to be a competitive series. I don't ever want to come to a place where we play someone that we like to play and players are injured. And it looks like the Yankees, for the most part, their offense, you know, typically Judge and Stanton have injury problems. Like, it seems like Judge is heating up a little bit. And have you been disappointed in the results so far, or do you think they're a victim of their own circumstance where they have one ace and their pitching staff has been is very anemic starting wise outside of Cole?
Well, the last week they haven't been. They're beating teams they're supposed to beat, you know, with the Orioles and the Indians and who'd they just play this weekend? Why is
the
my
Tigers?
Thank you, the Tigers. You know, Herman pitched 7 innings the other night. Kluber pitched 6 2/3. His first time around, he pitched 8 innings yesterday. The guys that are giving them trouble right now with length are Montgomery and Tyone, but Tyone got his first win on Saturday in 2 years. So right now, guys are kind of clicking a little bit. The offense is starting to click. Stanton has a 9-game hitting streak. He's batting over 400 in that hitting streak. And the scary thing is he's not even hitting home runs on the regular yet. He's hitting doubles and singles and an occasional home run. You know, I said this at the beginning of the season. I've been watching baseball way too long to get worried about April. It's too early. And people were panicking way too early. And people were also jeering the Yankees too early. And don't think I didn't bookmark some of those tweets and messages that people were sending me making fun of the Yankees in April so I can throw it back in everyone's faces in August and September. You know, I like what's going on now, but this is the time for them to prove that they can do things against better teams than the Tigers, the Indians, and the Orioles.
All right, so the Astros are coming to town. How do you see this team? Before we get into any of the controversy stuff, how do you see the 2021 Astros compared to how they've been in the past?
To be honest, I haven't really paid attention to much of the stuff around the league, so I don't even know what's going on. I know they started slow compared to what they'd normally do, and they've picked things up. I just think it'll be interesting just to see everyone's reaction. I know it's not completely the same team. There's some guys who were not there from 4 years ago, and I just think, like, this is the series that everyone was waiting for. You know, I know that the Dodgers and the Astros played in that World Series, but it's the Astros and the Yankees that people really care about. No offense to the Dodgers, but I feel like this is the series that everyone's waiting for. And everyone around baseball is kind of wondering, like, oh God, what the hell's going to happen?
Yeah, exactly.
I saw an article in, I think, New York Post, I think it was Joel Sherman, said today that the Astros cost the Yankees the core of going to the World Series and that. And I tried to read it, and I'm not saying that it wasn't true, but it was like a short article and everything. But before we kind of get into that situation, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about sports trade. Sports trade is kind of like a fantasy type of thing, right, Brett?
Yeah, it's basically sports trade is fantasy sports meets the stock market. This is amazing. Sports trade takes fantasy to the next level. It's like Robin Hood for fantasy sports. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players, just like real stocks. Finally, a fair and exciting way to cash in your knowledge of sports. And they just added baseball to the platform. Boy, I could have used this in the 90s when King Griffey Jr. was playing. Making money with sports trade is simple as players' values rise and fall based on two factors: on their statistical performance in each game as compared to their projected fantasy points in that game, probably like Miles Straw, who's hitting 270 as of late. When you're ready to buy shares, pick the penny stock in a rookie with huge upside and grab the blue chip vet who's always been that solid performer, like Michael Brantley or Giancarlo Stanton. Instantly buy and sell as many shares and as many players as you like, just like the stock market. Then watch your players battle and your portfolio value rise. Simply go to sportstrade.com, watch the How It Works video, and then sign up to get started. Sign up today at sportstrade.com and discover the fun and exciting and profitable new way of sports trading. This is truly the evolution of fantasy sports. You'll be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in the game at sportstrade.com.
All right, so Mother's Day is coming around the corner. It is this Sunday. So if you haven't got anything, Brett, where can they go and get that gift for their mother?
That's right, Eric. This episode is brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. You, myself, and Stacy Gotts can get something for our mothers or that special someone in our life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters each have produced a uniquely beautiful ring, ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece, and they're a perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day only at BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10 by 10. This collection features high-quality, fine jewelry that will surprise and delight and fairly priced, so you can give her something and special and truly meaningful. The ring from Platt Boutique is amazing. It's so simple, clean, but the vintage details are just incredible. It's a perfect little ring that is so timeless, and it would be the perfect gift. If you're on the hunt for the perfect unique ring she'll treasure, go to BlueNile.com by searching the words 10 by 10.
Okay, so I know we have a couple Astros fans that are talking about unseal the letter, unseal the letter. So before we get into the Astros side, what have you heard about this letter and what do you know about the letter that the Yankees are protecting?
I have no idea about it. I haven't even bothered to read about it because it doesn't seem like it's anything. So I don't even know.
No. Okay. All right.
Yeah, because I mean, I think the reason why he brought that up is because there, I think the one statement that was a sticking point for a lot of the Astros Nation and why he asked and why that's mentioned. Some people would say it's carping a little bit, but when Major League Baseball comes out, or actually when the Yankees lawyers come out and say that there is like damaging things in that letter that could come out to, that could basically do damage to the organization, I think that's where people like they heard that. And they've hung on to that. And then, of course, we have some local people that have really followed it. They've contacted the courts trying to find out when this letter is going to be unsealed. Basically, the bottom line is it's a non-factor until it is revealed, until we do have public knowledge. So it's really more banter for fans to go back and forth. And it's like, hey, you know, yeah, 2017 happened, but there's a letter that might have you implied in something as well. And so I think, you know, sometimes we're grasping at straws. I do want to know what's in the letter. But at the end of the day, does it really matter?
Right. Yeah. So I think Stace kind of made her point. So speaking of that, what is the pulse of Yankees fans concerning the Astros? I know that AJ Hinch has come out and said basically Astros cannot tell fans and players how to when it's time for them to move on. They have to say when it's time to move on. So what's the feel for Yankees fans and how are they going to react to the Astros fans coming?
Well, I just think it's funny that, you know, people keep saying it was 4 years ago, get over it. But the news came out before last season. Then last season wasn't a regular season. No fans in the stands. The Yankees and the Astros didn't get to play each other. So Yankee fans have been waiting for this for over a year. Like I said, I hope they don't throw things on the field. I'm not going to guarantee that they won't, but I feel as if Yankee Stadium security hopefully will do a good enough job to prevent it from happening because they saw it happen a couple of weeks ago. They know that this is going to be a heated series just from the fans' perspective. I don't know how the players are feeling right now. I know that Aaron Judge kind of didn't answer the question about it. He kind of was going around actually saying how he felt about the Astros coming to New York. I think it would be different, honestly, if CC Sabathia was still on the team because he legitimately doesn't like the Astros. And I think that if he were still on the team, it would be a much different situation between the players. I really don't think it's going to be anything bad between the players. I'm just worried about the fans throwing things on the field. I mean, baseball fans aren't rational and Yankee fans are definitely not rational at all. So I don't know. We'll see.
So you don't see any type of headhunting by the Yankees pitchers or anything like that?
I don't think so. You know, let's see, was Herman there in 17? I don't think he was there in 17. Herman wasn't there. Montgomery, you know, if he does hit someone, it's going to be an accident and his control is off. I don't see Gerrit Cole doing anything about anything because that wouldn't make any sense whatsoever. I really think if someone gets hit, it would be an accident. I don't think the Yankees would be headhunting anyone. That would be just silly and obvious. Like, why would they even, that would just be really stupid to, that would be dumb to, well, one, it would be dumb to do it. Two, it would be dumb because the umpires would automatically warn everyone right away. And then God forbid an Astros pitcher accidentally hits someone, then the ump might want to throw him out. And it's just, no, I really don't think they would do that. I hope not.
Yeah. So speaking of the Astros players, looking at Jose Altuve, I know that the Astros, Astros fan did a lot of research and he actually watched a lot of the games and he documented all the different trash can bangs. And one, he found that Jose Altuve was one of the players who received the least amount of bangs. As a Yankees fan, as a Yankees podcaster, does that change anything about how you feel about Jose Altuve?
No, he's still a pain in the ass.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, you have those players that do cause those pains. I mean, gosh, I don't know why he comes to mind, but you know, Seager for the freaking Mariners, he hits like he's Pete Rose every time he plays us. Mm-hmm. When David Eckstein was with the Cardinals, you know, he kept that inning alive, which allowed Albert Pujols hit that big famous home run off of Brad Lidge.
Right.
So and Altuve has had a few key home runs. So is more of the like, I don't necessarily like hatred, or is more of the jeering focused on Altuve because of what he's done to the Yankees in actual playoffs, or is it not really connected to the scandal? It's just like he's Jose Altuve, like
No, it's not connected to the scandal. It's he's been a pain in the ass since before the scandal. Like he's always been a pain in the ass. He's just one of those guys. Every team has one of those guys that does well against, you know, well, I mean, you know, we had David Ortiz, there were a bunch of guys that we couldn't stand throughout the years. And Altuve just happens to be one of those guys. So, yeah, nothing to do with the scandal.
Yeah, I'm sure that what he did against Aroldis Chapman is still kind of painful in the minds of Yankees fans. So I'm sure that's still.
No, it's fine. It was 2 years ago. It's fine. I got over it within 5 minutes. I was like, all right, they're not making the World Series. Who cares? I've been through too much in my life to care about this stuff. Honestly, I used to live and die with baseball. Okay. I used to be one of those crazy people whose life was turned around if something bad happened in baseball. I worked at NBC and my boss made it a point to tell people not to speak to me after the 2004 ALCS ended. By noon the next day, I was like, why isn't anyone talking to me? Like, what's that? Like, even the people I worked for weren't talking to me. They would wait till I got up from my desk. They would put files on my desk with notes on it and not say anything. And I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, did you guys really think I was going to open a window at 30 Rock and jump out because of what happened? Like, I'm fine. So I'm not like that anymore.
So it sounded like they're betting on you kind of going all Tom Cruise and just losing your mind and everything. Yeah. So Brett, go ahead and tell us a little bit about betonline.ag.
Yeah, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all the sports action. Baseball season is here, and it will keep you on track with all that action. We have a ton of things going on. The NFL draft just wrapped up, so it's like who's going to do what in the NFL season. Basically, the latest news, the odds, and info for all your sports needs, MLB, NBA, NHL, UFC, so much more. Before you look at the next pitch, before you watch the next game, open up your laptop, go to your mobile device, and look for the sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get your chance right now to get in the game as your teams prep as for their runs for the playoffs, like in the NBA. LA, we know the Rockets aren't going to the playoffs. Who are they going to pick for the number one draft pick with the worst record in the NBA? That's what I want to know. So head to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today, and receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. That's Bet Online, your sportsbook experts. The promo code Locked On.
All right, Stace, I'm not sure if you do a lot of driving out in New York, but if you did, I'm sure you'd contact rockauto.com.
That's right. I don't, but If you do own a car, you should go to rockauto.com. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
All right, so let's play a little game real quick. What do you think there's more of? More balls thrown on the field just by angry fans, or more home runs being thrown back on the field after Astros home runs?
Well, I don't think people can bring balls into the stadium. All right, batting practice. But usually if Zach Hample's there, he gets all of them. So he might not be throwing them onto the field. Because I would assume that Zach Hample would make it a point to be at the Astros-Yankees series. So I would assume, you know, obviously they always throw back home runs from the opposing team's players. That's just... I mean, a lot of teams do that, but yeah, no, that's definitely a Yankee Stadium thing. I think it's stupid. I would keep a ball because that's just really cool. I've never been able to catch a ball. I had seats in the upper deck, in the fifth row of the upper deck of the old stadium. And anytime a right-handed batter was up, because I was above first base, the balls would come up. And there was one time Derek Jeter hit a really hard, quick foul ball. And my friend and I literally went, like, we dove out of the way. The ball hit the back of my chair and bounced back onto the field. So never got a ball.
Yeah. You know, I've always thought that was a Wrigley Field thing, throwing the ball back on the field. And I've never caught a ball in game. I've caught several BP home runs, foul balls, things like that. But I've always been like, if you catch a home run, if you're sitting in those seats, bring a Little League ball with you and throw the Little League ball back on the field and keep it.
Right,
and
make
ball.
People think that you,
forget it. I mean, if Trevor Story or DJ LeMahieu or someone hits a home run and I catch it, I'm not throwing that back. I don't care who you are. It's whatever. I'm keeping that dang ball. That's a souvenir right there for keeping.
Yeah, I was nearly killed by a Travis Hafner BP ball during the 07 division series. I was sitting in the first row of the upper deck because once the playoffs started, they put me all over the stadium. I wasn't in my regular seats. You don't realize, you know, even though the upper deck in old Yankee Stadium was 300 feet from home plate, those balls were coming fast at you. And Travis Hafner nearly killed me. And I was like, I'm going up to the concession stand during BP and I'll be back when everyone's done because I don't need this to. I mean, I couldn't believe how fast those balls were coming up. I can't believe people actually catch balls like that because, I mean, it was really, I mean, I have bad eyes anyway and not great hand-eye coordination, but yeah, no, he hit the ball really hard and really fast.
When I was up in New York for Bagwell's induction into Cooperstown, I did go Yankee Stadium. I watched the Yankees play the Tigers, and I had the bacon on a stick, and that was very interesting. I was not feeling good the next day, but it was definitely interesting. So let's look on the matchups. In game one, it's going to be Zach Greinke versus Domingo Germán. I know Germán is probably not the most popular pitcher on the Yankee staff right now, but Zach Greinke's had his ups and downs this year, but at the end of the day, he is the Astros ace. How do y'all both see this game kind of going?
You know, I think Greinke has to be on his game, first of all. He's coming off his shortest outing of the year, and he definitely can't be off cue. He has to be on cue, especially with these Yankee hitters. And when you say things, Stace, like, Giancarlo Stanton and these guys are hitting over 400 and they're hitting with contact. You know, right now, Yordan Alvarez is hitting with contact, not necessarily home runs. You don't want that to happen. So I think as long as Greinke is painting the corners, is keeping the hitters off balance, that will be good. And hopefully the offense can pick him up. Germán actually just came off one of his best outings, seven scoreless innings, like you mentioned. and he picked up his second victory. And he right now is actually 0-1 in three career appearances versus the Astros in one start. So he hasn't had the best of luck. Neither does Zach Greinke. So neither of these guys have great records against the other team. It really depends on which pitcher is more sharp and which hitters are queuing in on the mistakes of the other pitcher.
Right. Right. And as you said, Herman had all of his pitches working the other day. You know, I know it was the Orioles, but he still was making them look foolish for most of the game. And, you know, lasting seven innings was a big deal because it was the first time he did that all season. Him and Kluber going back to back 6 2/3 and seven innings. It was the first time that two starters not named Gerrit Cole went back to back going that long in games. So that was a big deal. Like I said, they're starting to find their way, but this is the series where they need to prove that they've found their way, if that makes sense.
I know that DJ LeMahieu is the one who's had the most at-bats versus Zach Greinke. He's batting .353 in his career versus Greinke with three RBIs. And then Yuli Gurriel has the most success versus Herman. He's batting .667 in six at-bats with a homer and two RBIs. So I see this kind of being a kind of low-scoring game. I say the Astros are going to probably win this game 4-3 type of game.
Okay, so we're picking winners now, Stace. Who you got? Sure. First game? Come on now.
I don't even know. 5-3 Yankees.
Okay, so you had 4-3 Astros. You had 5-3 Yankees. I'm gonna go with the I'm gonna say 9-1 Astros. I want the jugular. I want the finish in Mortal Kombat. First game, 9-1. Don't let them play you in a close game. Bottom line is, I think we need to take these first two games. I think the Cole versus McCullers game is going to be a key. It's going to be a big matchup. And that's the game that worries me the most because Cole has just been on his stuff. And so, you know, I mean, we saw it here in Houston. You know, the last game before our first game this year, Stace, that my son and I went to was a 15 strikeout game that Gerrit Cole had in the ALDS. And so that was the most amazing pitching performance I've ever seen. So I think the Astros come in strong at bats, 9-1. I'm going to stick to that.
All right. Game two, it's going to be Luis Garcia versus Jordan Montgomery. I know that Montgomery has a 4.39 ERA. Luis Garcia has a 2.7 ERA, but he's 0-3 on the season. He's kind of snake bit. It just seems like the Astros offense cannot get any runs when he's in there. But this is going to be kind of a pick'em game. I'm not really sure. Can a offense do enough? I know the Astros have faced a lot of left-handed pitchers this season. So they're going to have a lot of experience versus. The Astros have faced Montgomery a couple times. Altuve has faced him seven times. So has Carlos Correa. Correa is batting .571 with a homer. Yuli has a homer, and so does Martin Maldonado. And wouldn't it be great for Martin Maldonado to finally get things going in Yankee Stadium? Because he struggled all year. So I'm not ready to say who's going to win this game, but it's probably going to be a high scoring game, I think.
Okay, high scoring game. What do you think, Stace? You think these two pitchers are just going to kind of give some things up? What do you think about Jordan Montgomery this year? He is 1-1. Is he a hot or cold guy?
He did better in his last start. He kind of had a little bit of bad luck against Cleveland, but this last start, he did better. He's still not lasting as long as you would want him to. I don't know. You know, he's still really coming back from Tommy John surgery because he didn't even really make that many starts last season because he was coming back from the surgery. So I feel like he's still working his way back, and I'm not worried about him yet. You know, I could see him maybe lasting five innings, possibly, but I could see this game going the Astros' way.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I was thinking that way, but there's going to be some runs scored in this game. So let's talk about the marquee matchup. That's going to be Gerrit Cole versus Lance McCullers. And this is going to be a definitely must-see TV type of matchup. Gerrit Cole is definitely somebody the Astros really, I don't know if the Astros have really faced him much. Let me pull that matchup up. But
no,
Gerrit Cole, how has he been looking? Is he looking like the ace he is?
Oh, yeah. I know that last year when he was pitching for the Yankees, someone had said that it took him 12 starts to get warmed up, and that's what he did last year. This year, and I said this on my show earlier, he's done what Mike Mussina did in 2001. There was a certain number of strikeouts to walks that Mike Mussina did in 34 starts that Gerrit Cole has already done in his 5 starts, which is crazy when you think about it, because I mean, he's just, what did he have? 12 strikeouts and no walks the other night. And then his previous outing, only like one walk. And the thing I love about watching Gerrit Cole, and I didn't appreciate this last season, but I've noticed it a lot this season, he gets so pissed at himself. And if he, God forbid, goes to a 3-ball count, he'll just toy with the next batter because he gets so angry with himself. Like, he's definitely one of those people when his kid gets older, that if the kid said he got an A, he's going to be like, why didn't you get an A+? Like, I feel like that's what Gerrit Cole would be like as a parent. I love watching him pitch. Feeling relaxed watching him pitch.
Yeah, no, I get that. He had 62 strikeouts, and that's the second most by a Yankee in a calendar month, behind only Ron Guidry with 64 in 1978, June 1978. So he's doing things this year like he was doing back in 2019 when he was just unstoppable. I mean, when he's on his stuff, Lance McCullers has got to find the strike zone with his fastball, with his breaking pitches. I think if Lance McCullers can find the strike zone, he can make this a low-scoring affair. Gerrit Cole, I just don't see him not pitching well. The Astros have to somehow get to him early, get him out of the game early, so that we can get to the bullpen. Now, I've got a question about Aroldis Chapman. I hear he's been pitching well lately. Is he looking really sharp?
Oh, since the beginning of the season. They showed the stats yesterday, going into yesterday's appearance. I think he pitched a full game, so I think it's 9 innings, and he had 22 strikeouts.
Wow.
And like 3 walks. Something crazy like that. Yeah, he's been lights out. You know, I'm waiting for him to implode, but he's working on that new splitter that he has, and he doesn't throw it often, but when he does, it's like, where'd that come from? I mean, if he adds that with regularity, he'd be really scary because he's still throwing over 100 miles an hour. He may not be throwing 103, but he's hitting 101. And then he'll, you know, throw something at 86 miles an hour. And that's one of my favorite things about pitching. Like, I love when a pitcher has such an arsenal that he can go from 100 miles an hour to like 85 and completely screw with the batter, either by the grip on the ball or just the way the ball comes out of his hand. I mean, any pitcher who does that, it's great. You know, we'll see how he does. Like I said, I mean, he's been unstoppable so far, but we'll see how he does against the Astros. That's the big test.
let's hope he faces Altuve, Eric.
Yeah, Danny Medina says Chapman doesn't want to face the Astros.
No, I think he does. I think he wants to redeem himself because he's a competitor.
Yeah, definitely.
He's not afraid of anyone. Sorry, right, Danny, but he's not.
He's not like Mike Fiers. Come on.
Yeah,
no, they're not hiding him like the rat.
You know.
All right. So the moral of the story is, whether you're Stacy, I think you kind of said that the Yankees are winning 2 or 3. I think the Astros are winning 2 or 3. So it depends on which side you're on. The Astros.
It could go it can go either way. I don't see either team sweeping. You know what I mean? Right. I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be close and competitive, and the series that everyone wants from these two teams, I feel like that's going to happen.
Yeah, and there's going to be definitely some drama.
Yeah.
And the first game happens on May the 4th. May the 4th be with you. So it's a whole Star Wars thing. And I hear they're going to be adding some stuff to the broadcast, maybe. I don't know. So hopefully the force is on our side.
So we'll have to see y'all about that. But guys, thank you for listening. And guys, the Locked On Today podcast is up, and the draft is over. Who won? who lost? And that's the question of the day. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And go listen to Locked On Astros podcast. Go listen to Stacey over the Locked On Yankees podcast. We're going to have a lot to talk about because I'm pretty sure there's going to be some drama up in the Bronx over at Yankee Stadium. And go Astros and don't go Yankees. And we'll talk to you tomorrow on the Locked On Astros podcast. Thank you for joining, Stacey.
Thank you for having me. So I hope you enjoyed my conversation with the guys from Locked On Astros. I think I held my own. I was a little worried going into this because I didn't know what to expect, and I had never done a crossover with them before. So I don't know why. Why haven't we done a crossover? I mean, obviously last year we couldn't because the Yankees and Astros didn't play. But I wonder why we didn't do one in 2019. Anyway, hope you enjoyed it. And for now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your Tuesday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.